Okay, our next presenter is Dr. Linda Weinreb. Dr. Weinreb is Vice Chair and Professor of Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. She is a practicing family physician in a federally funded community health center, and she is well known for both observational and intervention studies with homeless families. And she will be speaking this morning on screening for PTSD in prenatal care in high-risk populations, importance for identification and service provision to promote healthy pregnancy outcomes. Dr. Weinreb.
Thank you very much. I would like to also acknowledge my colleague, Dr. Carol Upshur. Raise your hand. Carol's a professor and research psychologist in the department and co-PI on this work, and also to acknowledge the Maternal Child Health Bureau, which is funding the work I'm going to talk about. And we've met before. I look forward to saying hi to you at the end. I was just telling the other presenter as she sat down that in the next phase of the study, and she said they're already thinking about it, they may want to think about adding in traumatic exposures as they think about preconception stressors. The APA defines trauma as a direct personal experience of an event that involves actual threat and loss of life or personal integrity. Witnessing such an event or learning of the unexpected violent death or serious harm to a family member or close associate. Approximately 18 to 30% of those exposed to a traumatic event will experience PTSD. And the overall prevalence of PTSD in women is estimated to be about 12.3%, with a little over 4% having the disorder at any point in time. Some of you may know that the DSM has just reissued their fifth version, and there are some modest changes in the criteria for PTSD, and the tools that we used are from DSM-4. They're all getting revalidated, and I think, if anything, some of the tools will map even a little better to some of the changes, but they're really very minor in terms of clinical implication. Studies of pregnant women have estimated PTSD rates of up to 8%, around 3% in public payer settings, and around 12% in public payer settings. PTSD has been linked to a range of high-risk behaviors that also are linked to adverse consequences with pregnancy, including alcohol and substance use, smoking, poor use of prenatal care. And for those who have experienced sexual abuse and traumatic exposures, obstetrical care and pregnancy itself can be a trigger to re-experiencing those symptoms, and in and of itself can present a lot of barriers to women using care. Even though the literature on the relationship of depression to perinatal outcomes is considerably more, there is an emerging literature that shows a relationship between post-traumatic stress disorder and adverse pregnancy outcomes and birth outcomes, including low birth weight and preterm labor, a host of postpartum complications and issues, including functional issues, parenting problems, barriers to breastfeeding. Not surprisingly, screening for PTSD and trauma-related stress symptoms within obstetrical care settings doesn't happen very often. We're not even so good at depression. We're getting a little bit better with depression, but much, much less commonly. And the literature that does exist suggests that physicians don't feel very well-trained or prepared to screen and deal with this. And there is a, you know, one of the issues with PTSD is it commonly co-occurs with other behavioral health problems like depression and substance use. So it frequently goes undetected is one issue. The other is that probably under 20% of women will seek care who have PTSD. And there is one study that reported that over 50%, closer to like 70% of women who screen positive for perinatal depression have co-occurring PTSD. So it is getting missed quite commonly. This study is part of a larger study in which we are adapting and testing an evidence-based intervention for PTSD in a prenatal care setting. So it's a very exciting study that's being delivered by perinatal support staff. And it's funded by, as I said, the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. And this particular presentation is going to just share our screening results and some baseline results, and hopefully we'll be back in a year and tell you about the intervention. The participating sites are two family physician-delivered prenatal care programs located within two federally funded community health centers in central Massachusetts. Between the two sites, there are about 450 deliveries in any given year. And you can see the ethnic and racial breakdown of the population. It's an extremely diverse population. I don't think I've ever worked on a project where we've had to translate so many materials and have spent so much funding to get not just the research materials, but the education and health intervention materials translated into Portuguese, Vietnamese, Spanish, as well as English. You can see it's a very poor population that we've been working with, and over half of the women were seeking care in the first trimester, with another third coming in during the second trimester. We used a screening measure called the Primary Care PTSD Screen. It's a psychometrically sound, very easy to use screen that's commonly used in primary care settings and was easily used in a prenatal care setting. I'm going to show you the items in a minute. It has about 85% diagnostic accuracy. It's, you know, similar to the screens that are used for depression in healthcare settings. And for women who answer two of four items positive are considered to have subclinical, subthreshold PTSD, and three or four positives clinical PTSD. And as you can see, for women who enrolled, we interviewed them at baseline, follow-up 32 weeks, and 1 month postpartum. The only women we excluded from the study were women who came in over 20 weeks, women under 18, or women who did not speak Spanish, Portuguese, Vietnamese, or English. And here are the items, just so you can get a sense of them. You do need to have a traumatic exposure. It's a diagnostic criterion for the PTSD diagnosis, and that's true in the revised criteria that have just come out. Have you had nightmares about it or thought about it when you did not want to? Have you tried hard not to think about it or went out of your way to avoid situations that reminded you of it? Were you constantly on guard, watchful, or easily startled? And four, did you feel numb or detached from others, activities, or your surroundings? We asked a whole range of additional types of questions to women. I'm going to just share results from these today. We did a stressful life events questionnaire, which asked about a series of childhood and adulthood traumas, a PTSD a symptom scale, and the Edinburgh Postpartum Depression Scale. Over 1 year, we have screened 656 women. The mean age was 27. The mean number of pregnancies was 2.6. And you can see here the ethnic breakdown. It's pretty similar to the population of the clinics, somewhat smaller percent of white women and a slightly higher, well, the rest are pretty close to the population of the health centers. And we found that 17.5% of women endorsed at least two or more symptoms, so higher than the literature to date. And you can see 11% answered three or four right or and meet the threshold for clinical PTSD, and another 6% subthreshold. So really high. And of those who screened in, I mean, again, you could look at among Hispanic women screened, 20% screened positive for PTSD or subthreshold PTSD, 18% of white women. So, again, quite high rates. And then the one on the right is just the screen-in rate by primary language. This is a list of the kinds of traumas. I'm going to actually read this list because I think it's stunning. 65% of the women experience physical violence by a family member or someone known. 56% had experienced a traumatic loss of a family member or close friend. That's one in two of this group of 27-year-old women. 47% witnessed someone being killed, seriously injured, or sexually or physically assaulted. 47% had been assaulted by a family member or someone known to them. 32% had experienced a serious disaster. 27% physical violence by someone not known. 27% a life-threatening accident or illness. 23% a difficult prior pregnancy or birth. Almost 20% sexual assault by someone unknown. And 1 in 10 had lost a child. Yes. Of the women, right, of the 115 who screen positive for PTSD, this is their list of traumatic exposures. And you can see the average was 3.5 events for this group of 27-year-old women. So I find this kind of information staggering. You can see that 73% had PTSD symptoms above the clinical cutoff. And 70% had co-occurring depression. So in conclusion, screening for PTSD was easily integrated into a prenatal care setting within a community health setting. And come back next year and we'll really tell you about implementation. It is challenging. But, you know, it's doable. But going into any of these settings and changing behavior and doing an intervention is hard. But there's enormous promise, I think, and importance in what we're trying to accomplish. As we said, almost 18% screen positive for a subthreshold or clinical PTSD, and that's higher than any of the literature that we're aware of. Those who screened in had an average of more than three traumas. Again, you have to think 27-year-old woman and what they have endured. Most of the women who screened positive had clinical levels of PTSD and depression. We think that screening and identifying this group of women and either providing or linking them with effective interventions is really critical to improving pregnancy outcomes and is probably one of the hidden stressors in a lot of the work on depression and perinatal depression that hasn't been examined well. Thank you very much.